One of the wonderful ways in which the Lord Jesus is revealed to us in the Gospel according to John is by his use of the term I am. Eight times in John's Gospel, the Lord Jesus uses that phrase, really a name for God, taken from the Old Testament. I'd like to read to you one of these, not the first one in the order in which it occurs, but the one which seems to explain the other seven. In the eighth chapter of John, and we'll begin to read from verse 42. Jesus said unto them, If God were your Father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Then after some more discussion and their arguments against him, he goes on to say, verse 54, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honors me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him. But I know him, and if I should say I know him not, I should be a liar like unto you. But I know him, and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Now, I am is one of the names of God in the Old Testament. In the third chapter of Exodus, the 13th and 14th verses, when God appeared to Moses and said, I send you to the children of Israel and to the elders, Moses said, Whom shall I say sent me? And God said, I am that I am. This was one of the sacred names of God. You and I had a beginning. 100 years ago, I couldn't say, I am. And as far as this world is concerned, 100 years from now, none of us will be able to say it, likely. But God could always say, I am. He lived in the eternal present. He had no beginning. He eternally was. He eternally is. And so one of his titles is, I am. We might say that this name comprehends all of God's names, because you can add after it any good to form a sentence of blessing. And the Lord does add to that name a number of statements in the Gospel of John. He states, I am what you need. Now, if the Lord Jesus Christ is not God, he is the worst imposter who ever lived. If he is not God, he can't be a good man, because good men don't tell lies, and he claimed to be God. But the Lord Jesus Christ is God. His credentials were good. They proved him to be God. His works proved him to be God. His words proved him to be God. Our Savior suffered and died on the cross and rose again the third day, just as he predicted. So there's no question at all but that he is what he claims to be. He used several of the names of God, not only this particular one we're studying now, but he used other names of God and applied them to himself. He has a perfect right to them. In the first chapter of Hebrews, at least three titles of God are carried over from the Old Testament and applied to the Lord Jesus Christ. He claimed that he could give life. In the fifth chapter of John's Gospel, he said that he could give life, he could quicken or make alive whoever he would. In the 5th chapter of Luke, he claimed that he had the power to forgive sin. And you remember in the Great Commission in the 28th of Matthew, verse 18, he claimed to have all power. Now, there have been a good many aspirants to power in this world, a good many leaders who have wanted power, but none of them would be so foolish as to declare they possessed all power. But Christ could claim that. He did have all power. He does have all power. He claimed to have perfect knowledge of the Father in the 11th chapter of Matthew and verse 27. He claimed that he knows the Father, and only he knows the Father, and only he is able to reveal the Father to others. I can think of several occasions when the Lord Jesus accepted worship. He had a perfect right to do this because he was God manifest in the flesh. Now, why am I saying all this? There are so few who recognize him for who he is. They tell the story about one of the kings of England in the old days who, when times were going against him, dropped into a poor peasant woman's cottage and asked for food. She made him earn it. She didn't recognize him. She made him earn his food by watching the cakes he was cooking. And then she scolded him unmercifully for letting the cake burn. Well, after the trouble was past, the king visited the woman again, and she was horrified and ashamed to learn that he was her king, and that she had been talking as she had to one who deserved her allegiance and honor. In the 9th chapter of Isaiah, in verse 7, we read, "His name," and this certainly is prophetic of the Lord Jesus, "His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father," or the Father of Eternity, "the Prince of Peace." The Lord Jesus is all of this. He'd like to be all of this and a great deal more to you. It isn't enough for you to know who he was and who he is, but you and I need to learn to put our trust in him. You and I need to come to him, to accept him, to count upon him as the great God come down to bring blessing to us. Now let's just briefly run over some of the things that he offers to bring because he is the I Am. He offers to forgive us our sins. He offers to give us a home in heaven. He said, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself." He offers to give us eternal life. He told us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Again, he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation," or judgment, "but is passed from death unto life." The Lord is offering to do this for those who put their trust in him. He was rejected by many while he was here, but in the 1st chapter of John's Gospel, in verse 12, we're told, "But as many as received him, to them gave he the power," that means the right or the authority, "to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." When you and I receive the Lord Jesus Christ, when we accept him, that is, take him into our hearts and lives, acknowledge him as our own Savior, trust our souls to him, come to him, all of these words describe the same act. When we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, then he becomes to us what he offered to be to these people in the section that we've read in John 8. They rejected him. They would not have it. They did not understand his speech, and it was because they were of their father, the devil. Now, not all people are the children of God. These people were called by the Lord Jesus himself the children of the devil, and they were doing the lusts of their father. They were speaking lies, and they were like Satan in that, for he is a liar and the father of it. Had they listened to the words of the Lord Jesus instead of taking up stones to cast at him, they might have been spared many of the sorrows that came to them later on. They were standing in the presence of the one who could say, before Abraham was, I am. This is the Creator. This is the Savior. This is the coming Judge. This is the great King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What are you going to say when you stand before him and realize at last that he actually loved you enough to suffer for you on the cross and you didn't receive it? Let's pray. Our Father, we thank thee for thy Son. We thank thee that we've learned something of who he is. We thank thee that we have learned to trust him as Savior and Lord. We pray that many may be so today, for his name's sake. Amen.